So here we are. We're kicking off a new four-part series on Unoffendable. This is the first slide up there for us. And this is a teaching series that is designed to help you see how easy it is to be drawn into offense. Drawn into offense and not even realize the negative impact and the consequences that it has on your life. See, everyone feels offended at one point or another in their lives. If I could be so bold as to say that some of you have been or have felt offended this week even. And if I was even to be one more step bolder, some of you have even experienced being offended today. The problem with living offended is that it doesn't hurt somebody else, though it hurts you, friends. It hurts you. And yet there are ways that we're going to explore over this next few weeks to not hold on to the offense that you are experiencing or the offense that you're feeling. As we say it around here often, we can choose, friends, to live undeterred, undistracted, unstopped up, per se, by offense. Undeterred by offense. We can choose to live this way. And that is what I believe each of you can take away from this series over the next few weeks. It's your choice. If you're a title person and you want to throw a title on this message tonight, I would just call it simply, it's your choice. And so I want to just help you navigate that tonight and explore that tonight. It is your choice, friends. So slide two, our theme scripture for the series is found in 2 Corinthians 7. Chapter 7, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, if you have your notebooks, your iPads, your iPhones, whatever it takes to grab some of this and stick it in somewhere, take some information down, make sure you can come back to it, because I truly believe God wants to heal you and help you tonight. So here we go. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. This is the Message paraphrase, and we've got some Persian on the screen there for you too, just in case you can read Persian tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I love that we have our Afghan and Persian friends in the house. I want to give a shout out to you guys tonight. We love you. We're glad you're here. Thank you. Tahir, I miss your family. And Reza's missing tonight. And Zara, I think it's good. I love you guys. Glad you're here tonight. So good. Let's read here. With promises like this to pull on. So Paul's talking about something he was just talking about before, but we're going to dig into this next part. Dear friends, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us. Make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. Let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of a good God. Friends, let's make a clean breakaway from everything that's defiling us or distracting us, both within us and without us. And let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God. So if you'd like a slogan for this series, here's a slogan that you can put on your t-shirt. It might simply be this in slide three. Don't drink the poison. Don't drink the poison tonight. So now throughout this series, I want to lead you and encourage you to see every offense in two stages. Now this is a big deal, friends. So I'm going to encourage you to respond tonight, to talk back to me, to make some noise. I want to make sure that you're getting this tonight because I believe this is where we're at. And I'm going to crawl right up into your front porch tonight. Is that okay? Oh, man, I'm going to encourage you to respond. I truly believe that this teaching is going to help us, is going to lead us and guide us and nudge us in some areas that are really, really critical and vital. And God knows, help the people that you do life and ministry with as well, to help you with being able to identify these two stages of every offense. So stage one, everybody say stage one. Stage one, Jesus. Slide four. Stage one is the feeling of offense. Some of you, like I said, have had this happen already this week. You're still stirring, you're still stewed, and you're still brooding about it. Maybe even today, something happened in a conversation with your spouse, with your kids, with your boss, with your coworker, with someone you served alongside at church. Hopefully not, but it happens, right, sometimes. But some of you have felt offense. Someone said or did something that may have caused you to feel overlooked or insulted or rejected or not considered or violated or taken advantage of. You felt offended. This is stage one. And this feeling is not something that you can control even. You experience it. And you can't avoid it. It's unavoidable, unfortunately. Everyone feels or will feel offended at some point in their lives. It's unavoidable. This is stage one. feeling offense. Now, stage two, on the other hand, everybody say stage two. Come on, stage two. Stage two in this next slide is the choice to live or not live offended. Can you say it again? The choice to live or not live offended. Stage two. There's two stages. I feel it. Now I have a choice. What am I going to do about it? It's your choice to live or not live offended. Now, this is the stage that not many are actually aware of. Many assume that feeling offended leaves them with no other choice but to live offended. Yet just because, friends, you have felt offended or are feeling offense does not mean that you have to live offended. Anyone with me today? Can you help me today? Can we lean in? I'm here to help you today. So let's go back for a minute. Stage one, say stage one. Stage one is the feeling of offense. If you remember, if you're writing notes already, when someone presents you, this is slide six, when someone presents you with an opportunity to be offended. Stage one, right? So a person serves you a glass of offense. Big, stinking, full glass of offense. Maybe it's a family member today or a coworker on Friday, or maybe some of you work today. A friend who didn't invite you with the rest of the boys for wing night. It could be a boss who maybe overlooked you when it was time for promotion, and someone that was there for 6 weeks shorter than you got the promotion before you, and you're looking at this big glass that's just been served you. Maybe it's your boss who doesn't see your special set of skills that you have. It could be your kid's teacher, friends, and parents in the house who just doesn't get that your child is extra brilliant and who never, ever really does anything wrong at school. It could be someone at church. It could be someone in the parking lot or checking your kids in for kids' church. What they said wasn't right. What they did by overlooking me wasn't right. What they did was hurtful. The way he or she looked at me, I can't believe it. As they serve that big glass of offense and you're looking at that glass and you're analyzing that glass, I can't believe that they just did that to me and said that, or that they avoided it, didn't even make eye contact with me today. But there it is, a big old glass of offense, straight up offense. And because you are human, it bothers you. Because that's what happens when we're humans, and we're all humans in this room. It bothers us, and you look at it and you size it up and you can't believe it. I can't believe they said that. You smell it. Can't believe they did that. Did they really say that? Maybe you take another look from another angle. It's even more irritating and more angering when I look at it from a different angle, isn't it? And right about now, you even call a couple of your friends over, close friends, and so they can take a look at it too. Stephen, what do you think? Tristan, did they really say that? Did you hear that? I can't believe that. You didn't get invited either. Trying to make sense of it. Look at it with some logic. What do you really think she meant by saying that? I don't think you two, not right. Girl. And that is where, in these moments where you have a choice to make now, you've been served up this big old glass of straight up offense. You feel it stirring in you. You're irritated and frustrated. Now I have a choice. Do I drink that glass? That cup of offense that was served me? Do I go from feeling offended to living offended now? See, that is what stage two is. In slide seven, stage two is to live offended is like no longer analyzing the glass, but taking the glass of offense. I'm not going to drink this because it looks gross. So just imagine you drinking this. But stage two, to live offended, friends, is like drinking poison and expecting the other person that just served up this big old glass of offense to die. The choice to live or not live offended. And to live offended, it's like drinking the poison and expecting the other person to die. We've all been there. Some of us are still there. And I believe this is going to help some of us today. By the way, this message series is not for the faint of heart. We're going to get right down where you and I live. We're going to talk real life this next few weeks. We try our best to talk real life and not just get up in the clouds of whatever. I love theology and hermeneutics and eschatology. But we're going to get right down where you live. This series is also not for those who want to hold on to their stuff. Like, Pastor Chris, there ain't no way you're going to get me to let go of that. Then I would say that this message series is not for you. This message is for people who no longer want to hold on to their offenses, who no longer want to hold on to their junk. You don't have to put your hands up because I don't want to embarrass you tonight, but I'm going to put up both mine because I got some junk I'm still holding on to. But how many in this room tonight have some junk that they're tired of holding on to? I do. We all do, I'm sure, in many ways, if you want to be honest with ourselves. I don't want to hold on to my junk. I want to walk with people who are hungry for change in their life, who are hungry to walk in the freedom that God has designed you to walk in, who do want to let go of their stuff, their junk, to find freedom, friends. See, that's one of the reasons why we exist as a church. First reason is to lead people to know Jesus, have a real and intimate encounter with God, the living God. The other reason we live or we exist as a church is to lead people to find freedom in their lives, freedom from all the stuff that we stuff away in the closets of our households and of our habits and of our passions and whatever it is, our past even, our future worries. But God wants to lead you to find freedom. And thirdly, he wants to lead you to discover your God-given purposes. And fourth is to make an impact. We want to lead you in helping to make a difference in this world. But I want to talk about freedom. We're talking about freedom. We want to lead people to find freedom. See, the choice to not drink the poison, slide 8 for us, the choice to not live offended is a choice for a healthy soul. Remember, the soul is the handbasket that holds your mind and your will and your emotions. Can you imagine having a healthy mind, will, and emotions? Living in a healthy soul. It's also a choice not to live offended. It's a choice to live with a peaceful mind and a blessed life. Can you imagine living with a peace of mind that transcends all understanding? The world looks in and says, what the heck is different about that person's life? Now you're starting to begin to understand what living a blessed life is. When your soul is healthy and whole and your mind is filled with peace, your life is filled with peace. Guess what, friends? You are living a blessed life. You can throw away the picture of the Bahamas and the limousine and hashtag blessed. You know, God has a blessed life for you when you choose to not live in offense. The choice may be to leave it there. This glass, you still see it there. You know what happened. You experienced it. But that choice that you're making to not take that glass and ingest it and guzzle it is because you want and desire the healthy soul that God wants you to live in. The choice is a choice for a peaceful mind. I know you've all, every one of us have got a war up on the inside of us some days in our thoughts and our patterns of thinking and passions and desires. And you so badly want to grab that cup that someone poured for you and chug it and guzzle every last moment of it. To take it all in, it's your choice to do so, right? Yet when you make the choice to say, I'm not going to take it, I'm not going to drink it, I'm going to leave it right there. I don't get it. I don't understand why it happened to me. It wasn't right. It was unkind. It still upsets me. It actually makes me mad, pissed off, if I can say that in church or not. I did already anyway. But I won't drink the poison. And that is the choice that you and I have to make to live a blessed life, to have a healthy soul, to have a peaceful mind. See, even as I've been writing this sermon, God has been stirring in my heart the cups that sit on my bedside, filled with poison, filled with offense, and I still look at them and I analyze them and I talk to my wife about them. God's been stirring me. Look, Chris, you have a couple cups on your nightstand still that have been filled with offense. You're not drinking them because you understand that you want a healthy life. You understand that you want a healthy soul. You understand that you want to live in the peace that I've designed you to walk in. But you keep coming back to it. And analyzing it. Questioning. Why? What the heck, God? The choice to live offended is a choice for a healthy soul, a peaceful mind, and a blessed life. Slide 9 again. Friends, my encouragement to us tonight is don't drink the poison. Don't drink the poison. And as we unpack this series, as we continue to unpack this series, we're going to learn more about what to do with this cup that we have sitting on our nightstand. Can you turn to your neighbor tonight and say, I need this today. I need this today. And then turn to your other neighbor, your second choice, and say, you need this too. I need this and you need this. See, I got a whole lot of cups of offense in my life that I want to sort through, and I want God to bring healing in my life. So let's lean in for a few more minutes, friends. First of all, it's important to understand slide 10 for us. Offense is certain to happen, friends. That's where we'll begin from here on out. Jesus himself said that offense will certainly come. You cannot avoid offense. Slide 11, Luke 17 says, he said this to his disciples, his followers, his students, and he's saying this to us just as well tonight as we read this. He says, offenses will certainly come, but woe to the one that they come through. But what I want to point out to you tonight is Jesus is saying offense will certainly come. Jesus even taught his disciples, and he said this in Matthew 24 and 10. Our next slide. Many will take offense, betray one another, and hate one another. Again, pointing out many of us, many people will take offense, which is an interesting comment because our idea of offense is that every time that I am offended, it means that someone did something that was wrong toward me. And Jesus says, as some of you might know, he didn't do anything wrong. He was perfect and righteous without sin. And here Jesus is saying, some of you are going to be offended. And in this passage, even for my sake, he says, I didn't even do anything wrong, Jesus is saying. But you're offended because I didn't do what you wanted me to do. Has anyone ever been offended because someone or maybe even God didn't quite do what you wanted him to do? I know I've been offended by God before. And it won't be the last time, friends. No matter who you are or where you come from or how much you have it all figured out, somebody's going to come up in your grill and come along and pour you a big glass of straight up offense. And it's not something you can control. It's not something you can prevent or you can avoid. You can wall yourself up and close yourself up in the house, but you cannot avoid being offended or being served a glass of offense in your life. You got to go out and get groceries at some point, honey. And furthermore, it doesn't even mean that you deserve it either. It's simply just going to happen. If we can understand that tonight, offense is certain to come. So we must then lean in to learn, well, what do I do with this then? If it's certain that someone's going to pour me a good old cup of poison, you are going to be insulted. You are going to be overlooked. You are going to be underrated, not invited, avoided, talked about even. Anywhere people come into contact with other human beings, there is an absolute guaranteed certainty of offense. Is anyone else getting this in the house tonight? In your home, in your classrooms, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, where you worship even. And even where you play, friends, offenses are certain to come. Somebody will say something or do something, even not say something or not do something that maybe you expected them to say or to do. And this causes you to feel offended. Others will not always consider you, make plans without you. People will treat you wrongly, make passive-aggressive comments in passing as they walk by you, right? And when this happens, you will see and you will feel the offense. Somebody is going to say something that is not true about you. Somebody's going to take advantage of you. Somebody's going to underestimate you. And then on top of all this, there are these hot button topics that we're surrounded by in our host culture. Politics and race and gender. Hot button stuff that gets us all offended sometimes. You don't have to be in a room for more than 5 minutes before you find somebody else that thinks differently than you, and they're more than willing to voice it. A differing opinion than you. And when they talk, you are sure to feel offended, friends. Is it okay if I just talk straight tonight? Are we big enough to do this? I know, yes, we're going there, friends. We will be a church that gets off the surface and goes deep. I know, like I said, eschatology and biblical hermeneutics are deep and fun, but I've seen too many cultural Christians not living in freedom, not living in victory that they've been designed to live in, because we fail to apply these biblical truths to our everyday living. So we want to dig into these real life issues in Scripture and prepare and be equipped. So why? So we can champion life here and now. I don't want to hang on to my mama's hem waiting for the rapture to finally get everything. I want the Holy Spirit to do the work in me now. Transform me by the way he changes my thinking now, right? Around offense is what we're talking about, especially championing. That's what the Holy Spirit's for, friends, to empower you to walk in this life here and now with victory and freedom. I know we all make mistakes, and you're saints that sometimes still sin. When you trust in Jesus as your forgiver and leader. But why wait until eternity, right? The people in your life who God put there, the place where you're working, the place where you live, work and play, those people who are around you who are not followers of Jesus, they need, for this, friends, hear me, they need to witness Christ in you, which is the very hope of glory in this earth through the local church being empowered and mobilized, the very witness of the Holy Spirit in us. The world needs it, friends. And sometimes we got all pouty and being offended about everything that comes our way because we've been served up a glass of offense. And God's saying, friends, I have a different way for you tonight. And I'm excited about what God cares so much about me even when I'm offended. He wants to make a difference in our lives, friends. Can you handle this tonight? Can I straight talk? Are your hearts still open, friends? Or you just closed me out already? Do you want all that God has for you in this season ahead of you? Desire to transcend all the other junk and our host culture wants to and desires to force feed you and to influence you with? Man, just because you have the right. Let's move on here. Slide 13. Let's talk about our rights for a moment. Just because you have the right to be offended doesn't mean you should. You have the right. And we'll talk about a few of these glasses. You have a right. You've probably noticed in our host culture, people feel justified to be offended, actually, at anything that offends them. There is a message that is really loud and clear in our host culture that's crept into our Christian culture as well. It says, you have the right to be offended. You have the right. Yes, you. Go ahead. Drink that cup. You have the right. It's yours to drink. So often we get hung up on having the right to be offended and having the right to react when someone pours me a cup of offense, that we fail to consider the high cost of living offended or being offended and living in that status and posture. The high cost to your own spiritual and mental health. Frozen in offense and unable to think beyond that posture of offense, friends. I have the right. This is my right to be offended. Am I crazy or am I right? Now, I know I ain't crazy. I know I'm right. But I want to share with you from Scripture today that Jesus actually points to a better way, friends. Oh man, I know I like to get a little crazy when I preach. Is that okay? I'm just being me. Yeah. Slide 14, 1 Corinthians 10 and 23. To see what Holy Spirit might teach us in this. We have a right. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. See, at the time of this writing, Apostle Paul is saying, hey, friends, it's a new day of liberty and freedom for God's people. Woo! They are coming out of legalism. And so Paul writes this to the church in Corinth and says, hey, yes, there are some things that may no longer be required of you. But let me help you understand something, friends. In case you haven't realized this, he's saying everything is permissible, yeah, but not everything is beneficial. So just because you have the right doesn't mean it's the best thing for you and I. I have the right. It's permissible as a Christian to speak my mind, to have differing political views than my fellow worshiper, to like this sports team and not that sports team. We like to have fun around that too, don't we? Bug each other. It's your right. It's permissible to get involved in social justice causes. March on some hill, join in the conversation and debates online, to share your favorite celebrity edgy quotes, wear the t-shirt even, join a rally. It is permissible, friends, right? But my question for you today is it beneficial? Nobody's interested in policing each other either. You have to ask yourself, everything's permissible, but is it beneficial? Like when you were online and you see some of the conversations, some of the chats, some of the comments, some maybe on your social media post or on your friends, or for some of you, maybe you don't have social online stuff and you're writing a blog post to the newspaper maybe. Maybe online's not your thing, but you're at the coffee shop or at your small group and you see or hear some things that are coming out of the mouths of your fellow brothers and sisters or friends or neighbors or whatever it might be. And you look at it and you stare at it. No, you didn't just really say that. Like, really? Like, what gives you the right to post that on my social media? You haven't even finished high school yet. What do you know? You are so fill in the blanks, right? We've all been there. And I'm thinking maybe even saying all this because I'm actually feeling offended. I'm feeling offense. That's why I'm responding like that. I'm thinking these thoughts. What that just said? What was just written in the comment sections is causing me to feel offended. Like, how dare you? You don't even know what you're talking about. And then it's about at that moment as you're talking out loud and kind of venting your frustrations about this cup that was just poured for you, you realize your children are overhearing what you're saying. Or your spouse is right there beside you, and now you're pouring her a little bit of offense, your offense in her cup now. It's all right. I remember my kids are watching, my spouse is with me, remembering, right, I'm a pastor, I'm not supposed to be reacting maybe this way. Like my initial response is that, oh boy, just you wait until I write my response on social media. You ain't gonna know what slapped you yet. Gonna give you the last piece of my mind as I angrily type that. All right, I'm a pastor, so I'll just unfollow you. Put my computer away, get off my social media, and have a peaceful night's rest. I could feel offended, friends. I could just guzzle this glass Revel in it. But is it really beneficial? It's permissible. It's my right. I can drink it if I want. But is it beneficial in my life? Are we getting this tonight? Here's another writing in scripture found in Galatians 5. This is slide 15, says this. We're talking about permission versus benefit. Permissible versus beneficial. It says, for you were called to freedom, brothers, /sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You and I, friends, were called to be free. I really want you to lean in and hear me on this. This is a powerful thought. You are called to freedom. Can everybody shout freedom? I just want to take a moment. You can pull, what is that guy's name? Scottish guy. Braveheart. Let's go Braveheart for a minute. In 3, 2, 1, freedom! You were called for freedom, my brothers and sisters. You were called as unto freedom. Say it again. Freedom. You were called to live. Yeah, free in Christ Jesus. But then he says, so don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. That's the part of humanity that desires to guzzle and lash out and say some unpleasant things. And don't use your freedom for permission to you to walk in your flesh, to live out your fleshly desires. You're free to do what you want, but that doesn't mean that if you do what you want, that you'll experience the freedom that you want. The same freedom that can lead to a choice that actually creates bondage and vice in your life. Yeah, I know you are free. But if you use your freedom in the wrong way, you actually are creating your own prison, your own stronghold. You become hostage too. Some of you have been blaming the devil all week, but sometimes you'd be creating your own prison, becoming hostage to your own cravings and desires, passions, hostage to your own offense. I've been brooding on it all week. Still there. Because you use this freedom, friends, in the wrong way. Instead, Paul is saying, yep, you are free to do what you want. But it would be so much better, friends. It would be best if you would only use this freedom as Christ's followers to be free and to create more freedom for both yourself and for the others that are planted around you, where you live, work, study, and play. See, not only do you get to walk in the newness of life and in the freedom that God's designed you to walk in, but when you are walking in the true freedom of the Holy Spirit, friends, everyone else around you gets to walk in that freedom beside you and experience the overflow of the Holy Spirit in you and out and through you. Can you imagine with me? Beautiful. What God wants to do in us and through us. Would you use your freedom to walk in the freedom of Christ as you have been designed to walk in? Why not use your freedom in a way that does not erect more walls and more barriers around you and lend to more hostility and more fights and more strife and more jealousy and just that? Even though you are free, I encourage you to exercise that freedom in a way that is actually liberating your soul every day. So, when you find that someone that has a different political view than you, we're going to go there. Is that okay? I mean, you have a right to be offended. The stuff that's coming out of their mouth from left or right or blue or green or orange or yellow, red, I forgot, purple maybe. I don't even know. There's so many of them. You have the right to be offended, right? I mean, like, after all, they're wrong. if they don't see it like you see it, they're so wrong, right? I mean, like, I cannot understand how you can even see it that way. So yeah, you have the right to look at it and like, I don't even see how you can even see it like that. Like, I don't even know if you can be a Christian still. I can't believe you even tolerate that. Put up with that. How dare you? I have the right to be offended. And I have the choice to make. I mean, how am I even going to be able to worship alongside you on Sunday? Friends, we are called to live so differently than that. Divergent, maybe even you could use. Called to something bigger and greater. See, our hope is not in a political party. Our hope is not even in the latest YouTube prophetic voices. We are kingdom people, friends. We are Jesus people, living out the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus. Believe in a coming kingdom. We have a common ground and a common center, and it's Jesus, and alone, it's just Jesus. I want to kick off all the other stuff that sits on the throne of my heart and let Jesus be reinstalled to sit on that throne in my life. I'm going to run out of glasses. But we're going to get real. Even more real than politics and sexuality and identity. If you have been a victim of abuse, you have the right to be offended. Research shows in Canada that there were more than 34,200 reports of sexual assault in 2021. It's the most latest census I could find or survey. 34,200 reports, just reports. In North America, one out of four girls will be sexually abused before the age of 18. One out of six boys before the age of 18. You have the right. When you go over that in your mind and you look at it and you stare at it, that was so evil. The way you were taken advantage of was so wrong. And to be angry is understandable. To feel and to be offended would be normal. There ain't nothing right about it, no matter what angle I might look at it. You could stare at it all day. You could never make that wrong or right. You have the right to be offended. And what I'm not saying is there's no way I want to minimize and diminish the offense of abuse. Yet, friends, what I'm inviting to you to is just because you can. Friends, I'm hoping a couple people in this moment, in this room, would take a couple steps back from the table. It's not even about me dictating to you what you should do either. I don't know what it's like to live a day or a moment in your shoes, to walk a day in your life. But what I am thinking about tonight, and what I believe the Holy Spirit is prompting us to think about, and for me to encourage you to think about, is you. Your soul. When maybe you don't or haven't paused for a long time to think about you. And maybe you haven't considered the high cost and the consequences that drinking the poison would create for you or for your family and for your children and your children's children. And that is what this message is about today. It's not about minimizing or diminishing something that is extremely, extremely horrifying, or to give any credence to whatever has been done to you in your life as just. You have a right to be offended. You have a right to be angry. It's totally about you, friends, and the choice that you have. Maybe your family has been mistreated, has experienced injustice towards you and your family, or hate because maybe of where you come from or where you were born or what culture you were born into or the color of your skin that you have. Then you have the right to be offended. See, there's so many areas of tension in our culture, in our families, and in our churches that we could be having conversations around. Jesus himself broke customs and traditions, religious customs and traditions. We want to be a church that breaks free from religious traditions and customs. I'm not saying throw away the baby and the bathwater, but there's some things we really need to sit down and have some real conversations about. We see it often in Scripture. One that I'm thinking of right now is a time that Jesus had a conversation with a woman from Samaria. The Jews in this time period of writing hated the Samaritans. Dogs. Don't like them. Were prejudiced and racist towards them. Couldn't stand them. Jesus, he goes out of his way to have a conversation. And it was bigger than just a, hey, how's the weather? But he actually revealed who he really was to the first person, the first human that he revealed himself to was a Samaritan, let alone a woman in this culture and time period. This would have been one of those moments for his followers and for his students to have the right to be offended. How dare you, Jesus, break traditions like that, so disrespectful and so dishonoring. See, the reason we won't make room for conversations around real issues, friends, is that often we are still carrying a high level of offense ourselves. Yet, I also realize that we can't even talk about real issues if we keep holding on to the offense. That is why it is so important here at Beloved City Church that we lead people to find freedom in their walk with Jesus. This is why we exist as a church, friends. This is why we want to have big tables with real purposeful and meaningful conversations around these hot button topics. Make room for people to be heard and understood. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, had a conversation around this. This can be offendable too, but let me read it. He said that there's neither Jew or Greek in Christ, male or female. And that can be offensive. I can read that and say, hey, wait, Paul. I'm really proud of my heritage, my nationality, my Scottish and British, or Irish, actually. What do you mean there's neither? This is me. This is my identity. See, but Paul wasn't trying to minimize anyone or strip anyone of their natural race. Paul was simply saying that, friends, that we are called to something bigger, a way that transcends the way that our culture disciples us in a way to see each other as brothers and sisters around the throne of glory, every tribe, tongue, and nation, giving credence to Jesus, giving worship to our King, our Lord of Lords. I'm so thankful that we as a church, both in Nanaimo and in Victoria, are seeing our prayers answered. Heaven is in this house, friends. Angela and I prayed before we planted in Nanaimo when we came alongside Harewood Community Church that we would be a church for the nations. That God would send the nations, every tribe, tongue, and nation, together as one body, together, working together, worshiping together, serving Jesus together. making a positive and eternal impact in our city together, in our families together, in our lives together. A taste of heaven here and now, friends. And we are so thankful for this. And continue trusting, continually trusting for more people from every nation. So how do I not drink that? There are so many reasons to. Like, I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know how to process this. I have a right to be offended. I have a right to drink it. I want to drink it. I can see how wrong that was. How unjust. How angering. Frustrating. Disappointing. But there's a difference, friends, between stage one and stage two. Are you with me still? Every one of us has the opportunity to refuse to drink the toxic poison that has served you. God's going to help you. He will. You're not on your own. God will bring you through it. He didn't adopt you to orphan you again. He didn't call you out of the wilderness to abandon you. No matter what you've been through or where you've been traveling or where you have been or what you have suffered through, friends, what you have faced, come on, friends, we serve an excellent God. We serve a great God, a good God who is so able to set you free. And I know he wants to set you free in this room tonight. He wants to break off those things that hold you captive to offense. And tonight is your night, friends. Not sure if you've noticed that the social norms in our host culture, I'm talking about the culture around us in contrast to God's way within us. The way our culture disciples us with regards to offense is often this, that the only way I can live without being offended is that everyone else treats me right. Slide 16 for us back there today. Anyone can give you the opportunity to be offended, but you get to choose if you will live offended. If everyone else does what is right, then I'm not going to be offended. Otherwise, I have no choice. This seems to be the mindset of our culture, friends. The narrative is this: if you don't agree with me, affirm me, do what I want, praise me, and what I think is right, then you offend me. And if I am offended by you, then it is your fault. And you must take the responsibility to make sure you never offend me again. How many of you in the room, including me, possibly know that this is not the way God has called you and I to live? We have a right, but we have an ability to choose to live offended or not. See, the message of Scripture is countercultural, counterintuitive in so many ways. Instead of holding others responsible for me being offended, Scripture actually points us to living unoffended. Jesus says this in Matthew 11 and 6, "Blessed is the one who is not offended." So why would Jesus say that if it were impossible? Proverbs 19 and 11, slide 18 says, "Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense." It is your glory, friends, to overlook an offense. And I truly believe that today in this room and over the course of the next few weeks, that God is up to an amazing, good, and perfect, pleasing, right work in us. The question for us, for each of us to ask tonight, as we face our offenses that have been served up, collecting dust on our nightstand, The question for each of us is, will you drink it or not? Because in slide 19, if you play the victim, you stay the victim. Or you can make up your mind tonight alongside me, and I hope many others in this room tonight, because I've got a few glasses on my table that I have a right to drink and to be poisoned by the toxins. But I can make up my mind that I don't want that kind of life for me anymore. Nor for my kids. Nor for the circles of influence that I am living in. I don't want to live this life. I don't want to live it like that. I know you've all seen it. Everyone in this room, including myself, has either been the victim or has known someone who is the victim. And I'm talking about mindsets, friends. Do I want to live my life drinking the poison that I've been served, filling myself with toxic bitterness and contempt and disgust? Do I want to live with that kind of anger and hatred spilling out of me or squeezing out of me? Do I want to perpetuate what has been served to me? Is that how I want to live my life? And if not, then I want to invite you to have the courage. Don't drink the poison. Don't do it, friends. You don't have to. And God is going to help you. And even all around the room, God even now is starting and beginning to set you free as he's been revealing what cups of offense have been poured to you. You've been contemplating, I'm going to drink this and I'm going to have some major reactions here and I'm going to give back what might be deserved. God is in this room setting us free even in this moment. It can happen now. Suddenly, a miracle in our lives. You can experience tonight the freedom that God has designed you to walk in. It's not too hard for God, friends. The devil's a liar. It's not too hard for him to set you free and let you walk free indeed. You make the choice, though. See, God, he's a sovereign God, but he rarely cuts across your free will choice. Because true love cannot exist without free will choice. So God gives you an opportunity to make a choice, and it's a beautiful opportunity that he empowers you to walk out. You still got to make the choice to live or not live offended. And then you make the choice, God will make the change. Somebody write that down. I think that wants to, that's freedom right there for somebody to think. You make the choice, God will make the change in your life. You can be set free. You can be liberated from a bondage that has kept your soul captive. Wrapping up with this scripture tonight. And if you would put some music on for us, Drew, just lightly for us, thank you. Because I believe Holy Spirit's here in this room. We know he is, we trust he is, and some of you are paying attention and ready to see some change happen in your life tonight. Matthew 6 and 14 says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you," friends. If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. See, God has graciously given you forgiveness for free. And tonight you can accept it, you can freely receive it, and you can walk in it. And when you begin to walk in it, you begin to exude the same forgiveness that the Spirit of Christ in you wants to work through you. And it's beautiful to be able to participate in that. You have the right, but you also have the choice to not drink the poison, to give it to God. So all around the room, I want to do something different tonight in closing, because I believe we've talked about some pretty serious things, no joke matters. So all around the room tonight, if you would stand with me, and it's just a posture of taking a step, moving up out of a posture of seated, sitting in at attention. Because I believe God's speaking in this room.